This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Ginsburg to be honored. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Tuesday, September 22nd. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be the first woman to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. Meanwhile, President Trump met with her potential replacement.
Investors were in a selling mood on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials fell more than 500 points, or 1.8%. We'll explain why.
Tropical storm Beta has made landfall in Texas, about 100 miles south of Houston. As much as 15 inches of rain could fall on an already saturated region.
And the meat that was so difficult to find in supermarkets as the pandemic took hold is now easy to find and on sale.
So when the plants were closed in the spring because of infections, hogs and cattle were left on farms, and, that's built a backlog. So that's creating challenges for farmers who are now having to find ways to get rid of these animals.
Jaewon Kong at the Wall Street Journal on the turnaround for beef and poultry. President Trump says there are five women on his shortlist for the vacant Supreme Court seat created by the death this past Friday of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He's indicated he's likely to announce his pick later this week. Mr. Trump said that the process to replace Justice Ginsburg, who died Friday of metastatic pancreatic cancer at the age of 87, should move swiftly. He spoke at a rally last night in Ohio.
So as our nation mourns the loss of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I will soon announce a nominee for the United States Supreme Court.
He has begun speaking with candidates and yesterday met with federal appellate judge Amy Coney Barrett, who visited the White House. She's on the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. Also reportedly in the mix, Judge Barbara Lagoa of the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, White House Deputy Counsel Kate Todd, and federal appellate judges Allison Rushing of the 4th Circuit in Richmond, Virginia, and Joan Larson of the 6th Circuit in Cincinnati. The late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol on Friday, becoming the first woman in history so honored. Justice Ginsburg's casket will be placed in National Statuary Hall, where a formal ceremony will be held for invited guests only. House Chaplain Pat Conroy.
May all Americans be inspired to be their best selves because of her example. May she rest in peace.
A separate ceremony will be held tomorrow morning at the Supreme Court for Ms. Ginsburg's family and close friends. The public will then have the chance to pay their respects afterwards and on Thursday under the portico at the top of the courthouse steps. Technically, Judge Ginsburg is the first woman to lie in state. Civil rights icon Rosa Parks lay in honor. 34 men have been so honored at the Capitol since 1852. The last person so honored was Georgia Congressman John Lewis back in July. Most of those who have lain in state were presidents, prominent members of Congress, and military leaders. Some conservative organizers are expressing concern about the vetting process for a Supreme Court nominee that will unfold in the days ahead as President Trump pushes for a swift confirmation process that is neither guaranteed nor likely to draw unanimous support from Senate Republicans. It's a story by Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. Gabby, what are you hearing?
The president is considering two female candidates right now very seriously. Barbara Lagoa on the 11th Circuit Court, a judge from Miami, Florida, and Amy Coney Barrett, a 4th Circuit Court judge from Indiana. And almost as soon as their names were mentioned in the media, it set off this horse race behind the scenes between socially conservative groups who really want somebody who they can rely on to dismantle abortion protections and essentially carry out a traditionalist agenda versus your conservative legal groups that prioritize somebody who is, a notable textualist, originalist, and is less concerned about pursuing or advancing social causes and more concerned about dismantling the administrative state.
Wow. All right. So what kind of jockeying then happens, say, behind the scenes?
I mean, all of these groups have the president's ear. They have the attention of the White House. And so just in the last 48 hours, they've been making phone calls. They've been talking to Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. They've been talking amongst themselves on how best they can sort of urge the president to pick their preferred nominee. And the groups that are mainly involved in this effort, you know, on the socially conservative side, you've got the Susan B. Anthony List, which is a leading pro-life organization. March for Life Action, also involved in the anti-abortion fight. You've got Heritage Action, the sort of campaign arm of the Heritage Foundation. And then you have, you know, the Judicial Crisis Network and Americans for Prosperity, which sort of fit into that other group that I mentioned, where they're really focused on the judicial philosophy of the candidate and less focused on what, you know, their what they would mean as a justice for social causes.
We're speaking with Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. Her piece is called "As Trump Rushes to Fill a Court Seat, Conservative Groups Fear Missteps." Some of them, too, as you said, have kind of tweaked their messaging campaigns now that there's a vacancy on the court, right? And that's from what, a messaging for President Trump and the reelection campaign?
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember we're 6 weeks out from the election. A lot of these groups were just starting to announce multi-million-dollar ad campaigns and mailers and digital advertising that was going to focus on the president's management of an economic recovery and you know, policies that they believe really resonate with swing voters. And now they're having to sort of reevaluate their strategy and decide whether it's the right time to move forward with that message or to scrap those plans entirely and shift their focus to this Supreme Court battle that's likely to unfold in the next few weeks.
All right. And conservatives are somewhat anxious because they're not in love with the Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why this is such an important fight on the right, and one that you actually could, for the first time, see some division, some disagreements among conservatives over the vetting process here. They feel burned by John Roberts, George W. Bush appointee, and Neil Gorsuch, a former President Trump appointee, both of whom had, you know, played a role in decisions during the Supreme Court term this summer that really disappointed social conservatives. And so now they want explicit commitment from the next nominee to the Supreme Court that they will be, you know, committed to undoing abortion protections and protecting things like the Second Amendment and religious freedom.
Could this delay the whole process, Gabby?
It's possible that it could if the president selects a nominee that, you know, doesn't pass the smell test for these groups. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of the conservative groups, despite this talk, they recognize what's at stake here and the timing of this. And I think you will see them coalesce behind the president's candidate, no matter who it is.
Okay, because they don't want, for example, Joe Biden making a selection.
Absolutely not. And, you know, there's still some disagreement over whether it's best to push for a confirmation vote before the election in order to sort of give President Trump's base, his religious conservative supporters, something to celebrate on Election Day and turn out for, or if it's, you know, more effective to sort of dangle this in front of them to drive turnout and then do a lame duck confirmation.
Thanks, Gabby. Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. 15 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Rough day for stocks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gave up more than 500 points yesterday, or 1.8%, as worry about more turbulence crept deeper into the minds of some investors. Oil and gold prices also fell. 10 of the 11 sectors in the S&P 500 dropped, led by economically sensitive groups like materials and industrials, which both fell 3.4%. The technology sector, which was driven much of the stock market's remarkable rebound since March, was the only group to finish the day in the green, up just under 1%. Chief market strategist Art Hogan at National Securities.
This kind of volatility keeps you up at night, then your equity exposure is probably too large. And this is the norm, not the exception.
The S&P 500 dropped 1.2%, while the NASDAQ was off just 0.1%, virtually unchanged. The declines extend the stock market's retreat into a fourth consecutive week. Among the market's biggest losers, Delta Airlines, Kohl's, and Halliburton, all off by more than 8%. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump has met with the conservative appeals court judge Amy Coney Barrett, who is considered the favorite to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Trump says he plans more interviews ahead of announcing his choice by the end of the week.
The only thing I'll say for the women, it will be a woman.
Number two.
Democrats are accusing Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of hypocrisy after he pledged a Senate vote on President Trump's nominee. 4 years ago, McConnell refused to consider President Obama's Supreme Court pick in the months before the 2016 election, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
By every modicum of decency and honor, Leader McConnell and the Republican Senate majority have no right to fill it. No right.
The late Associate Justice Ginsburg will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol on Friday, becoming the first woman in history so honored. 34 men have been honored at the Capitol since 1852.
Number three.
The top public health agency has again stirred confusion, this time by posting and then taking down an apparent change in its position on how easily the coronavirus can spread from person to person through the air. The post suggested the CDC believes the virus can hang in the air and spread over an extended distance. The CDC says it continues to believe larger and heavier droplets that come from coughing or sneezing are the primary means of transmission. A federal judge in New York has ruled that the U.S. Postal Service must prioritize election mail and reverse some key policy changes imposed by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, saying that managerial failures at the agency undermine the public's faith in mail-in voting. The judge became the second federal judge to side against USPS in the past week. A judge in Washington state ordered many similar changes on Friday.
Deadlocked at 17. Ingold set in front of Jacobs. Carr. Going to throw, rolls right, wide open, touchdown Waller. Beautiful play.
It's official. We now have pro football in Sin City. Brent Musburger with a call on Compass Media Networks as the Las Vegas Raiders beat the New Orleans Saints 34-24. John Gruden's squad off to a 2-0 start. The favored Saints fell to 1-1.
Yeah, well, I had the Saints in like minus 6.5 or whatever that was, point spread. Thanks a lot, Drew Brees and company.
Oh, well.
Musburger sounds good. I always think now still with those play-by-play calls, there's going to be the roar of the crowd, which there is none. Thanks, Jen. When you've been married a while, it can be hard to find a unique gift that's a real surprise, but I did, and I found it at paintyourlife.com. With paintyourlife.com, you can send any photo or combination and have them transformed by world-class artists into a professional, hand-painted portrait at a truly affordable price, all in about 3 weeks. And the process is simple. I recently chose to have a painting done of my kids. All I had to do was upload the picture, choose my preferred medium, and select the size. Took less than 5 minutes. Oh, and when I was finished, I got an immediate email with the proposed rendering, asking me to either approve or make changes. Very customer service oriented. I love that. And at paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded. Plus, right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off, plus free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text DEAL to 64,000. Thanks for being with us. Meat prices are falling at grocery stores as last spring's shortages fade and livestock clog farms, benefiting consumers but hurting meat packers and farmers already hit by COVID-19 disruptions. What can we expect at the store? We're joined now by Jaewon Kong, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Jaewon, quite the 180.
Yeah, it is pretty drastic from what was happening in the spring when we saw purchase limits on meat prices skyrocketing because the supply was pretty low from meat packing plants closing due to infections. And there was also fewer variety of cuts. And what's happened now is all those things are basically reversed. Because production has rebounded a lot and it's actually building a backlog.
It was an interesting line in your story that said the same factors that drove prices up are now driving them down. How so?
Yeah, so when the plants were closed in the spring because of infections, hogs and cattle were left on farms, and that's built a backlog. So that's creating challenges for farmers who are now having to find ways to get rid of these animals that are also, getting fatter. And then on top of that, some restaurants, largely steakhouses, have remained closed. And that's also added to the supply.
How about some of those price examples you had in the story and comparisons to, say, then and now?
Yeah, so, back in the spring, beef and ground beef in particular saw some of the biggest jumps in price, which was, pretty striking. Ground beef going, up to $6 or $7 a pound at a lot of grocery stores across the country. And that's actually seeing, some of the bigger price drops now, even half the price that they were selling for in the spring. And, parts of chicken, like chicken leg quarters, which are a pretty big export item, there's been an oversupply somewhat that's been built. And, that's causing the prices to go down again.
Mm. I'm speaking with Jaewon Kong, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "Meat Was Once in Short Supply Amid Pandemic. Now It's on Sale." What do meat processors say here, Jaewon? Do they offer any kind of optimistic outlook?
Well, they've acknowledged, that they are dealing with bigger supply and, for some chicken companies, for instance, the supply that's building up and lower export, in addition to changes in consumer behavior of, shopping fewer amounts of groceries, all of those factors would combine and, hurt them a bit.
Thanks, Jaewon. Jaewon Kong, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. There are two kinds of small business owners: old schoolers who need to physically go to a bank and get charged unnecessary fees. And then there's you. For you, there's Aslo, a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, and money transfers, plus no minimum balance, no fees, and no minimum deposit. You'll never get charged maintenance or overdraft fees or have to navigate a phone system that wastes your time. Just go to azlo.com/deal and apply in as little as 10 minutes, not the days or weeks it can take a walk-in branch. And with Aslo's free instant funding feature, you can deposit up to $1,000 and access it instantly. That's one of the reasons Money Magazine called them the best business banking option for freelancers and entrepreneurs. Sign up right now with no minimum deposit at aslo.com/deal and get a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide, spelled azlo.com/deal, and sign up with a free Small Business Starter Guide and no minimum deposit. aslo.com/deal. Aslo is owned by BBVA USA, member FDIC.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday, September 22nd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump meets with a potential replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham says the votes are there to confirm a nominee. The Bobcat fire in L.A. County has now burned more than 100,000 acres. Tropical storm Beta reaches Texas. Fall officially arrives this morning. Raiders over the Saints in Monday Night Football. And the 10-year-old from Wisconsin about to reach an incredible exercise milestone. That story in about 20 minutes. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's campaign is courting veterans and members of the military in key swing states. Julia Manchester, political reporter at The Hill, says they're betting that his personal connection to the armed forces and the fallout from reports of President Trump's disparaging remarks about fallen service members will dislodge at least a portion of the historically Republican-leaning bloc. Julia, explain.
Well, what's interesting, Gordon, is that over the past couple of weeks, you know, ever since that one article from The Atlantic came out alleging that President Trump essentially made very disparaging comments about fallen service members overseas, we're seeing the Biden campaign really lean into him and his family's ties with the military. Now, this is something that Joe Biden and his family and his campaign have been doing throughout this entire election cycle, but we've really seen it getting more attention lately. We see that Biden has been invoking his own experience as a military father. We know that his late son, Bo, served as an army judge in Iraq, and he talks about how much service meant to that family. We see Dr. Jill Biden talking about her ties to helping military families during the Obama administration as part of the Joining Forces campaign with Michelle Obama. So we're really seeing them highlight that, and they highlight it in a way as a means to attack President Trump. You know, Joe Biden will often say, look, my son Bo wasn't a sucker. He wasn't a loser. And we know that in that Atlantic article, President Trump reportedly called these fallen service members suckers and losers. So we hear Vice President Biden saying that, but it's also comes amid recent polling that shows that President Trump's lead among military service members has been declining. So in a Military Times poll released last month, we actually saw Joe Biden was leading with members of the military.
So as a bloc, what is the importance of the military in terms of voting? Like, is that a group that's, you know, particularly or specifically courted every 4 years?
They are courted to an extent, I would say. I mean, like I said before, this is a group that tends to vote Republican, or they tend to lean Republican. That being said, they tend to be concentrated in swing states, and large populations of them are concentrated in swing states, whether it's North Carolina, Florida, Arizona. You know, you see them kind of getting lumped in with that group of swing voters. I would say this year is different, though, because of President Trump's controversial history with the military. And when I say that, that's because of his past comments about John McCain. You know, the fact that many of his generals that served in the administration, General Kelly, General Mattis, have left the administration, which has, I think, definitely made quite a bit of headlines, especially within the military community. You also see President Trump's administration really honing in on lots of policies impacting the military, whether that's improving the Veterans Administration, you know, the military defense spending, that kind of a thing. However, you see Joe Biden countering that, you know, talking about what he did during the Obama administration for military families, you know, increasing funding for AMRAPs when he was in the Senate. That's something that he talks about quite a bit. And, you know, talking to members of the military community, one thing I've also heard is that, you know, we tend to, in the media, we lump military issues such as defense spending and anything related to defense as a military issue. But veterans and members of the military also consider health care and Social Security and, you know, your normal domestic issues to be very important to them as well. And you see Joe Biden bringing up those issues when he meets with members of the military, which is definitely helping him.
We're speaking with Julia Manchester, political reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called Biden Courts Veterans Amid Fallout from Trump Military Controversies. So The Atlantic itself, not the most widely read publication, I get it, but what kind of play is that story still getting on the trail? Because obviously it's a he said, he said.
It absolutely is a he said, he said. You know, look, I've been reporting quite a bit from Washington, D.C. during this pandemic, and I will say that speaking to voters outside of the Beltway and, you know, traveling outside of the Beltway from time to time, you know, a lot of the stories that get quite a bit of play in our world do not travel that far outside of the Beltway.
Thanks, Julia. Julia Manchester, political reporter at The Hill. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we shouldn't have to announce this, but there are some people who apparently could benefit from this advice. If you're pulled over by the police, it's best not to give the officer a fake name, especially if they already know you from high school. This after police in the UK pulled over a driver who was accused of being under the influence and operating a vehicle without a license or insurance. Since he didn't have a license anyway, the driver tried to pull a fast one and say that he was someone else, which could have been an intriguing plan if the officer had not recognized the man from high school 20 years earlier. The department posted accounts of the incident on social media. One person commented that the high school reunion is going to be a blast, to which the department responded, as long as he doesn't drive there.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in fairness, there's a lot of people who could have pulled me over, a lot of police who could pull me over, who might have gone to high school with, and I wouldn't recognize at this point. Like, I only recognize probably about 10% of the people who I went to high school with, what I actually recognize if I saw them on the street at this point.
However, a cop has different training than you do.
Yes.
So cop is more likely to recognize you than you him, I suppose.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'm somehow trying to stick up for this guy. I don't know why. I know my, you know, my memory being what it is, and the fact that, again, I don't remember almost anybody from high school at this point. You know, I could fall into the same trap, though I probably would not be giving a fake name.
I don't have my ID, and you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, step out of the car, please.
Exactly. Like that. And there are some debates that may never truly end. No, we're not talking about the presidential election or even how and when to wear face masks. The hot button issue of our time appears to be, should dog pants have two legs or four legs? This issue that you never knew you should be concerned about has been brought to our attention by Bagel Bites, the frozen pizza bagel brand, which has put out a poll in conjunction with National Dog Week to determine how America feels about this topic. The poll was actually posted on Friday, and we're somehow just getting wind of this now. There's still time to vote, however, with polls closing early Thursday morning. Unfortunately, if you're in the four-legged dog pants category, you'll need to drum up a lot of support, and fast. With nearly 40,000 votes having been counted, two legs has 88% of the vote, with just 12% voting for four legs.
There
are so many questions that go along with this. And, you know, why is Bagel Bites involved in this?
Yes.
In the first place.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, are Bagel Bites safe for dog consumption? I don't know about that. Probably not.
This is like these great job opportunities you've been talking about also. Like beer company sponsoring you for 6 months in the wilderness or national parks or something. It's just strange.
Figuring out some way to attach themselves to National Dog Week, I suppose.
Right. Bagel Bites, by the way, were a staple of my children's diet, like in elementary school. I used to have them ready as they walked in the door from school. It was just a thing.
They were a staple of my diet throughout my 20s as well.
Well, there you go. Also, with regards to these dogs, I think if your dog is one of these, like, you know, teacup dogs, like weighing less than 10 pounds.
Right.
Four-legged pants might be acceptable.
Okay.
But you got like a normal-sized dog. I think that dog does not want to be seen in public with anything more than two legs.
So you're saying that this debate is more nuanced than just two legs or four legs.
I think
so. We have more to explore here, perhaps inserting a weight threshold.
Listen, it got all the free media publicity it wanted from you, Mike, through
Congratulations, Bagel Bites and their marketing team.
But leave the dogs to just two
two-legged pants. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, see how we can help at planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. With movie theaters shut down, people are obviously eating fewer snacks at theaters. This has left farmers with a massive surplus of unsold food. The Washington Post says popcorn farmers, who typically sell to movie theaters and other venues like bars, concert halls, and sporting events, are struggling amid the pandemic. While microwave popcorn brands have reportedly seen sales surge, many farmers who provide corn to theaters and other similar venues typically in 50 to 100-pound bags, don't have the equipment or infrastructure to switch their sales models. One company reportedly had to construct 7 new silos in order to hold all of the unsold kernels. The problem, unfortunately, could be getting worse. The type of corn used for popcorn is usually harvested at the end of this month. After being harvested, the kernels typically stay good for about a year. After that, they become too dry to pop, making them no good for popcorn. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump says he will name his nominee for Supreme Court Justice by the end of the week and urged the Republican-controlled Senate to confirm his choice before the election. And he appears to have secured enough support in the Senate. Democrats are criticizing Trump's plan, with presidential candidate Joe Biden calling it an abuse of power. Meanwhile, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg is set to become the first woman in history to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol building later this week.
Number two.
The Justice Department is threatening to revoke federal funding for New York City, Seattle, and Portland, saying the three liberal cities are allowing anarchy and violence in their streets. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
It's all about attempts to divide and to enthrall his base by attacking the other. This is what this guy does. It's the only trick in his book.
The mayor's call the move unconstitutional.
Number three.
Tropical storm Beta has made landfall in Texas, threatening to bring days of flooding downpours to portions of the storm-weary Gulf Coast. Storm prediction meteorologist Rich Otto.
Be prepared, hopefully, with plenty of food and gas on hand. Because of the heavy rains and floods, you may be in a situation where you have to kind of stay put for a little while things kind of clear out.
Up to 15 inches of rain could fall in some areas. An enormous wildfire that churned through mountains northeast of Los Angeles is continuing to threaten homes after destroying or damaging more than 24 buildings. It's one of more than 24 major fires burning across California. In Oregon and Washington, more than 9,000 firefighters continue to battle 27 large wildfires. Wisconsin's attorney general says he has selected a former Madison police chief to serve as an independent consultant for prosecutors, weighing whether to file charges against the officer who shot Jacob Blake in Kenosha. A black man who was left paralyzed from the waist down. Noble Ray was chief for 9 years and worked for 30 years as a police officer. Basketball legend Michael Jordan has entered the NASCAR world by purchasing a Cup Series charter in partnership with Denny Hamlin. Bubba Wallace will be the driver for the single car team beginning in 2021. Wallace, NASCAR's only full-time black driver, said he would be leaving Richard Petty Motorsports when the 2020 season concludes. He's having a career season with 5 top 10 finishes.
All right, thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. How about this for a goal? A 10-year-old in Waukesha, Wisconsin, is on track to do 100,000 push-ups in a year. Meyer Schnorr, who's a wrestler, started last November at the age of 9. The fifth grader does 300 push-ups per day. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Meyer usually does about 35 consecutive ones with short breaks in between those sets.
until he reaches 150. Then he takes a longer break and finishes the other 150. On school days, he does half before breakfast and half after. Even during holidays and his sports tournaments, he sticks to his routine. At his current pace of 300 push-ups a day, he'll reach his goal next month. At that point, he plans to continue with about 150 push-ups a day through November 16 to surpass his goal. Meyer is inspiring his 8-year-old brother and fellow wrestler Parker to do the same. Parker now does 50 to 100 push-ups a day. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.